Total Tuscany Podcast number 23. Ciao and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. It's good to be back with you again. I'm Travis Justice, joined by my travel partner in crime as we get set to plan our next trip to Tuscany, Mr. Pat Capandi. What's up, Pat?
Travis, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And again, we said this the last podcast, but we need to apologize to people because and sometimes you wonder, do people listen to these things? Mm-hmm. Are we just doing this for our own health and our own benefit? But I started getting emails from the followers of the Total Tuscany Podcast saying, hey, you guys haven't had one in a while. Are you guys done? And the answer is no, we're not done. We both have busy lives, and it's one of those things. And we had a lot of cancellations. We had a lot of ideas for podcasts, stuff that didn't come to fruition. And then we realized, boy, we haven't done one in a while. And finally, we landed one that I think is going to be very informative to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, on this fall morning, I think we've landed one of the best websites for tourism in Tuscany.
Well, right? When you go to plan your website, I hope you're not planning a website, when you're planning your vacation to Tuscany, there's always a starting point. And everybody usually goes to Google, types in Tuscany or travel to Tuscany. We have found the starting place. There's lots of great blogs out there. There's lots of great information. But the real starting point would be turismointoscana.it. Don't worry about remembering that. You can find the link right here on totaltuscany.com. But they have a plethora of information, a plethora of social media channels, and a good number of blogs that will really set you in the right direction. And joining us today on the Total Tuscany Podcast is Costanza Giovannini. Costanza, I first found your website and your blogs on Twitter through Visit Tuscany. How much social media activity do you guys see when it comes to finding information out about Tuscany?
Our activities are very complex and thematic. So we decided not to have just one main identity, general identity, like the one you meet first at Visit Tuscany, but we decided to go deeper in themes, doing a specific food strategy, a specific art strategy, and some specific trend, so fashion and tendencies, tips and events. So we decided to go deeper in some specific themes.
So our listeners, you're really a one-stop shop. Anything that they want to know about Tuscany, it's on your website.
Yeah, oh, we hope so, actually. The website is a kind of a traditional website with an architecture that's based on destinations and some thematic, general thematics. And then we have a specific social media strategy for English-speaking guests, and in which we try to be more smart and easy and give the most useful and complete information about Tuscany.
turismointoscana.it is the web address. And don't worry if you can't remember it, I'll have a link on our website so you'll be able to click to it easily. But how many visitors? Because this is like the official Tuscany website. Am I correct in that? This is the official one, right?
Yeah. Yes.
How many visitors do you guys get a month, and can you tell if they come to the United States? Can you know, where is most of the interest for your website and your blogs and everything come from?
Okay, I have the statistics for the last 2 months, and we have. I'm not good with the numbers in English, but it should be over than 700,000. Sessions on the website. The most are from Italy, and then there is United States, United Kingdom, Germany, Canada, Australia, and Brazil. The first country traffic. And then we have we started doing specific strategies on some specific market like Russia, Germany, Brazil, and China. These are like experimental, because it's very important and also complex to get in touch with so many different markets and so different tourisms.
And Costanza, is there a segment of the website mm-hmm. that you find to be the most popular, the most yeah. useful tool?
I think the blogs are the most dynamic part of the website, even because they are strongly linked with our social media activity. So the website is mostly related with Italian-speaking social media tools. Instead, for the English market or the English-speaking market, so the international market, we started focusing on an easier and more dynamic and also dialogic way of communication. So,
You know, I think the blogs are interesting because they tell like stories, and I think people yes. relate to stories, and they, it kind exactly. of puts the reader right there in Tuscany, and I think that's what really draws people to the attraction of the stories that come out in those blogs.
Exactly, that's the idea. Indeed, we have very very focused on mostly focused on this kind of content and also styles of speaking and telling Tuscany. We always are searching for new ways of promoting, communicating, and understanding, finding new ways to tell the identity of this region.
You know, why has it grown in such popularity? I know a lot of people will say that Francis May's book, Under the Tuscan Sun, had a lot to do with it. But, you know, Pat and I, you know, we saw the movie, and I don't think that did anything for me. I read the book. It didn't do that much for me. But it took me going there, staying there for 2 weeks, to really experience what Tuscany was about. And what is the draw for people to go to Tuscany that you see? I think it's different for every person, but yeah. but what do you see the most of, what the draw is?
I think that most people search for lifestyle here. So they have this idea of Tuscany as a dreamland, of not only a land to visit and to explore, but also something and to experience and deeply get inside this identity. Because Italy, Tuscany, also Europe, has this profound identity that is visible in landscapes, and anything is about our culture here. So if you go to Tuscany and you go in a field or in a country area, it is shaped by humans, by centuries of history and activities and culture. So this kind of deepness, I think, is the reason. So people come here to breathe and immerse themselves inside this identity, this lifestyle, I think.
Yeah, we can tell by the way you describe the project how it must mean to you. It has to be fun to go out and gather this information about where guests, tourists, and visitors can eat and where they can travel on a pilgrimage route. It's who gathers all of that information for you?
Actually, it is a very big work made by the social media editor and coordinated by me and another guy. But they do it mostly in their minds and gathering information through social media, email with the locals, and so getting in touch and building up these experiences. Or actually for food, we go to, we meet, for example, chef, and we design a photo receipt, or we get inside the restaurant and we go harvesting, we go getting olives for the oil. So we try to be inside, but we don't you cannot do it always. We sometimes need to build up things, gathering things from our like office. So it's not so fun as it can look. Can look like we're always around having fun and tasking. It's not really what we do.
Well, if it gets to be too rough, I think we have a couple of guys who'd be willing to travel around for you and report back.
Yeah, if you need guest bloggers, if you need guest video shooters, or even guest podcasters, I think we can handle that for you. But you guys have like 24 different social media sites. You have, I believe, 4 different blogs. Let's go through the different blogs, because you said those are the most popular ones. Let's start with the art blog. What does the art blog provide readers?
Actually, the art blog is maybe the most nice niche one. So it's the one who gathers mostly French readers and Indians also. I don't know why. So it's the smallest but a very engaged community. Instead, the general one around Tuscany is the bigger community and has the most interaction because it shares general information and easier information. And then there is Tuscanicious. Tuscanicious has a big and also very, very strong community. We also create this Tuscanicious approved badge that many bloggers from Tuscany ask to get, because they are like, there is this approbation of the Tuscany region in your production of blog post about Tuscan food. So they wanted to get some more credibility and standing. So it's a very, very strong community, the Tuscanicious one.
And I would say is that about food mostly?
Yeah, mostly food and wine.
So you have the art, you have the food one, and then you have the travel one as well, correct?
Exactly. As I said, around Tuscany, that it's the general one, travel advice, tips for your trip, he is the most popular. He gets more visits because it's general. So you can find anything, 5 days in Belterra, how to reach Siena, and also practical advice. Then Tuscanicious, the food is a very, very, very strong driver for Tuscany. In Italy in general, but okay, I'm talking about Tuscany here. And art also is a very important asset for Tuscany, but it's a niche one. Like he has a smaller, very motivated community.
Of course, you have lots of multimedia. You have a mobile app that visitors can download and use on their trip. You have a plethora of information. Do you guys like to get outside what normal, you know, I mean, people know when they go to Florence to go to see the David, or they go to the Duomo, or they go to certain places in Chianti and even Siena. Do you guys like to dig in deeper with your content and give readers and give tourists and give people who are wanting that Tuscany experience to show them places that are kind of off the beaten path a little bit?
Yeah. That's one of the most important drivers of our strategy. So we need, Tuscany need to drive different tourism in Tuscany, because we have a very big amount of people coming for culture, and so the main three main destinations, Florence, Pisa, and maybe Siena. But we need to promote, and we want to promote the hidden Tuscany, the secrets and the special small things that Tuscany is full of. That's our main goal. We also need to talk about Florence and mainstream things, because we also need to talk to everybody.
And you have a where to sleep category right on your website. Is that our listeners can find hotels and places to stay in the major cities? But do you also highlight some of the more remote niche locations?
Yeah. Here is catalog of all hospitality places. In the main, obviously, in the main cities are in evidence, but you can find any hotel, bed and breakfast, or any kind of hospitality that is legally recognized by the region, and everywhere in Tuscany. But this side of the website is also crowd, so we get online the most general information about each structure. But then they have a code. They can go in, the owner of the hotel or the house or rental houses, etc. They can go inside the website and add more information, personalized pictures, fill with the services, and also they can allow people to book online through their preferred booking tool.
Are you from Florence or are you from the Tuscany region?
I am from Impruneta, that's a small town 12 kilometers from Florence. So I'm a country girl.
So you're a country girl, but did you grow up thinking, you know what, I want to tell the story of Tuscany? Did you realize growing up how important tourism was to Tuscany and what it would mean to so many other people that don't experience it on a regular basis?
I would love to work just on tourism. But also Fondazione Sistema Toscana, that's the organization behind Turismo in Toscana, managed many other kind of projects, especially in digital and cultural divide issue in Tuscany. So we work on many, many projects. Tourism is obviously one of the most important and biggest projects we work on, but I would love to concentrate all my ideas, all my power, how do you say, energy on tourism, because I love my land and I would love to help people getting inside that in an authentic and complete way, not just going to the Dome or the Leaning Tower of Pisa and then go to an outlet and then go to Paris.
Costanza, we've only traveled to Tuscany in the spring, early spring. Uh-huh. Talk about, if you don't mind, talk about fall. What can our listeners expect to find and experience, and what would you like them to experience fall in Toscana that's off the beaten path?
Obviously, the chestnut and oil and food related events. Tuscany has a very rich food culture. So I would suggest to obviously go to visit the main cities, because the city in fall are like more livable than summer, because summer is hot, and so you can enjoy the areas easier and lower. But also countryside, southern Tuscany, Maremma, for example, is a very off the beaten track destination. Very famous for the seaside, but in Italy, but it has so much to offer in terms of spa, slow tourism, bike tourism, horse riding, so slow lifestyle activities. I would say maybe also the mountains, the Casentino area, southern of Arezzo, there is this Val Tiberina area that now is experimenting a special project on Piero della Francesca art. It's an interregional project between Tuscany and the other regions in the border, promoting these itineraries based on Piero della Francesca art and story. So it's not a new thing to do in Tuscany.
I have two questions for you, and they're gonna be personal. So you get a day off. First one is, you got a day off, and you want to go somewhere outside the city. What do you do to say, you know what, this is the day that I'm going to go plan outside the city?
I usually do hiking in the Chianti. I usually hike with a group of friends. They like mountains, so we go to Apuane. There are the mountains behind Versilia. But what I really like is hiking in the Chianti circles. There are these walking white roads itineraries in the Chianti area between Florence and Siena. You can walk. You can bike. There is this permanent track of Eroica. That is a special project about biking, vintage biking. It takes place every year in October, but then the itinerary, the track is always there. You can do it walking on or biking, and I do this. I walk in countryside.
So you're a country girl, but let's say you got a day off and you can't get out to the country. What do you do then if you have to plan a day off in the city?
Oh.
In Florence.
I probably would go shopping. I would go shopping and then probably have an aperitivo in my favorite small bar in Piazza Tasso. That's a small piazza in the Oltrarno side of Florence. So the other side of Arno, that's the most uncommon and actually authentic part of the city.
What, when you guys field questions, what's the most commonly asked question you guys get by email or even by phone when it comes to visiting Tuscany or when it comes to just general information? What do people want to know most about Tuscany before they make that trip?
Mostly advices, general advices of wine tour, for example. They want to help gather information about a wine tour, so which wineries go to, for example, places to eat, general information about a specific destination, any kind of information. We also have this Talk to Tuscany tool that's a kind of a Yahoo Answers for Tuscany. So they are planning a trip for 2 weeks and they want help building up the activities and the things to do, for example.
Cassandra, is there something about Tuscany you would like to tell people if you had that chance that they just don't ask, they don't think to ask?
I don't know. Probably to stay more than today is to actually find a way to explore easy, freely, not avoid to go just in the main thing, cities. I know that's the desire of every destination, but it's the most important. I would do it as a tourist. Just explore with no specific destination. Just go around, let things go.
And that's great advice because of the three times we've been there, we found that we go with no agenda and we try to stay for 2 weeks. And to be honest, you really can't go wrong, can you? I mean, is there anywhere you could go wrong?
No, you can. But not easy, but you can.
So you studied a little English in Chicago. What's easier living, Chicago or Florence?
I don't know, actually, because I think American cities are really easy, but really easy to be accepted in. Here are smaller, are my city of born. So I was born here, so it's hard to make this paragon, but here it's harder to get into the culture and get really in touch with people, harder than in the US, but probably is feeling that I had. Maybe I could be wrong, but in Chicago and so in the other city of the States I've been to, I've always felt like I was one of the many coming from abroad. Here, it's different.
But they still, but they still love tourists, though, right?
Here?
Yes.
Oh, there we go.
So we could be better. We could do better. Actually, in the main, yeah, I know that you know the feeling of being somewhere and not being so welcome, mm-hmm. because sometimes it happens here. It's kind of a invasion feeling, and it's common in the cities, but sometimes also in the small town. We need to do a lot of work on culture and making people understand that this is our goal, that this is our most important resource, and we need to help people coming and enjoying. Mm-hmm. Not being so repulsive.
Well, and how do you know the statistics? How much is tourism up in Tuscany over the last, say, 20 years?
Slowly and very, very little growing, but thanks to international tourism, because Tuscany was so strong also as an Italian destination for Italian travelers. But now with the crisis crisis that people feel internal tourism is going down, and fortunately there are this big new market like China, Russia, Brazil that are growing, and we hope also North America is going back to grow. Even some signs are coming, little growth seems to be on the future, but we need to improve our international knowledge of Tuscany, because they are the people who can help bringing up tourism here.
Well, we can promise you that Pat and myself plan on being in Tuscany sometime in the spring. And if anybody's going to Tuscany, the first place they should go is to turismo.intoscana.it. You can find the link on our website. You will not be disappointed. It's full of great information, and it's a great starting point when you start planning your trip to Tuscany. Costanza, a fabulous interview, very insightful. We thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, and enjoy Tuscany the next time.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Pat, that website really does offer lots of great information, and you could tell as the interview went along, Costanza is very passionate about Tuscany and about the offerings that really the region has to offer.
Yeah, it just shows right through. It's a fabulous job telling everyone about Tuscany and experiencing it in that way. And the volume that they're working with is amazing.
You know, I was kind of surprised to hear the tourism numbers were down a little bit, especially from the United States. It was interesting to find the new markets like Russia and China. I thought that was very intriguing that
Brazil.
Those are the new markets are reaching out. And so it's interesting to see where the growth was. And I should have told her. And I don't think you have, and I know I haven't. I have never had a bad experience. I've never had anybody be rude to me. I've never had anybody that wasn't really inclusive when we were in Florence or even the hill towns. I've always had a great experience in Tuscany.
Always felt welcome, and just like you fit right in. You had to do so little to experience something amazing.
We are passionate about Tuscany. We also hope that you are passionate about Tuscany. Make sure to follow us on our social media channels on Twitter at Total Tuscany. You can also follow us and like us on Facebook, again, Total Tuscany. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes or through Stitcher. So lots of different ways to stay in touch with Total Tuscany. If you have or want any advice about traveling to Tuscany, feel free to reach out to us on our website, TotalTuscany.com. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again real soon with another Total Tuscany podcast.